The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And this is not an interactive sermon, so rest easy. Although I suppose it could be. Let me find it here. How did you hear your way into that text? Was it something that was easy to check out during? Because it seems like kind of a longer list. Was it something you were measuring yourself against? Like, well, yeah, I do that one. I don't do that one. I got to do better there. Was it a list that perhaps you started interpreting as the marks of a good Christian? Did you hear that text as a tall order or as something that seemed quite impossible to do? My initial response to this passage when I was reading it earlier this week was that it made me think of the way my mom cooks soup. Now, before you think I'm crazy, what I'm talking about is my mom would throw a little bit of everything in her soup, sort of like this gospel passage throws a little bit of everything at us. She would always make that drop biscuit out of Jiffy baking mix so that we had something consistent. But then she would throw in the leftover stir-fry veggies, the frozen baked beans from last summer that she needed to get rid of, the leftover chicken breast from a couple of nights ago. And then she'd freshen it up by chopping up carrots and celery. She'd add those in. And then the worst offender, the canned tomato chunks, would go in what we would dub as leftover soup. Now, whenever I would find a tomato chunk in the bowl in front of me, I would either push it to the side or just try to get rid of it into my brother's bowl or something of that nature, because I just could not stand the tomato chunks. No matter how good those tomatoes were for me, no matter how much my mom intended that soup for good, she grew up a child of someone who grew up in the Depression from Minnesota, so we were eating that soup because that was a good way of taking care of that leftover food responsibly. Sometimes the passages that we get from Scripture go down hard, and we would rather have a mouth-watering steak, some mushrooms and onions maybe. Now I'm getting really hungry. And sometimes we get a little bit of everything, and even something that we might not want to eat. To quote another preacher, "Goodness, Jesus, who wants to love an enemy?" It's a good idea, but think about how hard that is to actually do. To love an enemy. Jesus is preaching to you that listen. To not just tolerate that enemy, to not hide from them, to not belittle them or talk negatively about them, but to love them, to turn the other cheek when confronted, to give without strings, and then to give again without strings. To pray for those who have caused you hurt, to bless those who wish you ill, to refrain from judging or condemning, which is so easy to do. In fact, I was doing it this morning when my car got stuck in the snow outside of my apartment. My neighbors were home, and they heard me pushing the accelerator, trying to get unstuck in my 2003 Camry, which I shouldn't have been driving in the snow. The garage next door lifted. They were smoking cigarettes. There were three of them, an older gentleman and two women who were about middle-aged, and they said, "What you doing there?" I said, "Well, I've got church today." He said, "Well, everybody else canceled." I said, "Well, we're at St. Andrew. We'll be there. We have church at 8, 9:30. You're welcome to come." He's like, "Well, you should have canceled." And I said, "I know, but we made the group decision last night to have church." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he goes back in his garage and shuts the door and doesn't help me shovel out my car. And here I am getting ready to preach on judge not lest ye be judged. And I'm just like, what kind of neighbor does that? Especially like, I gotta live above you and now you're gonna be a jerk. And then Phil Bickley came and picked me up, which was really nice in my car. I did actually have time to get it back in the garage, which was really good. But what Jesus is asking of us is so hard because we run into these things time and time again. Doesn't matter how good you are at performing these particular tasks in the life or these marks of a Christian, you will run into this wall again, and likely soon. And when you do, it's important to remember that it is Jesus who is saying these things. This is not something that seems possible. But remember, this sermon was preached on a plane, on a level place, where Jesus was trying to undo some pretty serious things that were going on in human culture. Now, this is indeed a recipe for discipleship soup, but these people who were gathered around him probably heard it as a recipe for disaster. Because other preachers fill up stadiums with sermons like 3 Steps to Love or 5 Paths to a Better Life. But here Jesus is focusing on something perhaps that we don't want to hear, but that we know we need to hear. We know that it is good nutrition for us. Tomato chunks in soup. Love for neighbors that turn the other way. These words that Jesus is preaching, they're breaking cultural norms. So if you think about them preached into our society today, how would that fare? What would that look like? Even then, everyone knew that giving and receiving was just part of how it works. There's no such thing as a free dinner. What's in it for me? Serve the right. She's just getting what she deserves. Can you hear yourselves? Or can you hear the culture saying some of those things fairly often? Well, serves them right, that murderer, that liar. They're getting what they deserve. Serves them right, those people, that leader. Anyone who hears this text from the mouth of Jesus and has a low level of commitment will think it's probably not good news, but awful advice. But Jesus is breaking this cycle of retribution, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, no more. Instead, mercy for mercy. Mercy for mercy. That the love we receive from God is the love that we share. That's the retribution we owe each other. Because we have been loved by God. And now listen, if you are an enemy, or if you have received hatred, or if you have been the one who could not pay, or if you are the one with little support or few resources, how beautiful would it be to hear these texts, these words from Jesus, to know that, in fact, God came to die for enemies, not just love them, but to give life to them, to show them that there was a better way. Jesus is offering so much more than a to-do list or a recipe for how to be a good Christian, or the things that we might do to make us feel better, although I'm sure it would have really made my neighbors feel better if they would have helped dig me out. But what we're finding here is more than that to-do list. It's an identity, and it's about participating in the kingdom of God right here and right now, because we don't have to wait till the end of time or to heaven. We get to experience the goodness that God intends for us and the love that we share for even our enemies. Hope that turns us out to forgive and to love and to be generous. We need to do these things. We don't have to do them to be saved, but we need them to feel that measure of mercy, to be free from the toxicity which we breed among ourselves. It runs against human thinking, but it's the kingdom agenda, and that's what's so beautiful about it. It's this nourishing meal. You guys, I was home last week, and Thursday night, guess what was on the table? We had soup. We had leftover soup, and it was just as lovely as it had always been. And so I started in on the drop biscuit, and I put some butter on it with some cinnamon sugar, and I really enjoyed that. Oh, did that taste good. And then I put that soup to my lips, and it was delicious, and I loved it. And it felt so good to be tasting that soup at my mom and dad's table, and to know that it was good for me, and that my tastes had changed, and that I had grown up into an appreciation of not what I thought I wanted at the time, but what I really truly needed, and how beautiful it is that it became what I wanted. And I think that's true of the Sermon on the Plain. Even though it might be difficult for us to want to love our enemies, we know we need to. And we pray that one day, in God's good timing, that the kingdom of God will truly come among us in ways that we can perceive and feel. Thanks be to God. Amen.